So it is great to see you all, and here's where we're going to start out with talking today. We're going to talk about Will Smith. Will Smith, the actor, has made some great movies. Probably my favorite is The Pursuit of Happiness. It is the true story of this guy, Christopher Gardner, who was a hardworking salesman. He sunk his life savings into these bone density scanning machines. He thought they would replace x-ray machines, and he'd get rich selling them. Well, it turns out they were kind of a flop, the scanners. And his wife ends up leaving him, and he loses his apartment, and he ends up actually on the street with his young son. This guy is struggling. And through some circumstances, he ends up, in the midst of this, getting an unpaid internship with a stockbroker, Dean Witter. And the movie, basically, is the story of him juggling all this, the unpaid internship and having to still work and sell the scanners because he needs some money and he's got to take care of his son and he's homeless during all this, too. And what we see in the movie is a guy, like, working really hard, busting his butt. And actually, let's look at a short clip that gives you an idea of that.
We're all working our way up call sheets to sign clients. From the bottom to the top. From the doorman to the CEO. They'd stay till 7, and I had Christopher. I had to do in 6 hours what they'd do in 9.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Gardner. I'm part of Dean Witter.
In order not to waste any time, I wasn't hanging up the phone in between calls.
Okay, thanks very much.
I realized that by not hanging up the phone, I gained another 8 minutes a day.
Why, good morning to you. My name is Chris Gardner. I'm part of Dean.
I also wasn't drinking water, so I didn't waste any time in the bathroom.
Yes, I'd love to have the opportunity. Over? No problem at all, sir. Thank you very much.
But even doing all this, after 2 months, I still didn't have time to work my way up a sheet.
We're feeling really confident about that one as well.
Walter Ribbon's office?
That was a demand.
Yes, hello. My name is Chris Gardner. I'm calling from Mr. Walter Ribbon.
What's your name?
Yes, ma'am. I'm calling from Dean Witter.
Just a moment.
For your portfolio, we're feeling really good.
Hello?
Mr. Ribbon. Hello, sir. My name is Chris Gardner. I'm calling from Dean Witter.
Yeah, Chris.
Yes, Mr. Ribbon, I would love to have the opportunity to sit with you to discuss some of our products, and I'm certain that I could be of some assistance to you.
Can you be here in 20 minutes?
Yeah, 20 minutes, absolutely.
Just had someone cancel. Come now. I'll give you a few minutes before the 49ers. Monday Night Football, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay, this guy's working really hard. And by the way, it's not healthy not to drink water and go to the bathroom. That shouldn't be part of your work routine. And really, he had slim to no chance that this internship would lead to a paid job. And amazingly, it does. And he ends up being super successful. This is a true story. It's the quintessential American story of, you know, hard work, busting your butt, achieving your dreams. And us Americans, we used to be known for hard work. If you went back to the 18th century, you'd find that we were known for our industriousness. Did I say that right? Industriousness. We were known, really, Americans, it was seen at the heart of being an American was hard work. This German guy came over then, and he saw us, and he said that hard work was the fountain of our happiness. But times change. Now, we still want to be happy, right? We want to be successful and rich and famous. We just want it right now. We want it instant gratification, you know, without all the hard work. Seriously, what stands out about this movie is that today we rarely celebrate hard workers. No, what we look at is folks who, you know, get rich quick. We get the people who, like, win the lottery and become famous overnight. We want overnight success. You know, folks like Mark Zuckerberg or Justin Bieber. Now, never mind that they actually weren't overnight successes. It took much longer. We ignore that fact. We think they're overnight successes because we want to believe that we could be too. Whatever happened to hard work? That's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about what the Bible says about hard work. And actually, right at the start, I can tell you, the Bible is pro-hard work. The Bible says hard work is a good thing. You know, you can see that even starting out Psalm 10. It says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. You know, that's just an example of dozens of dozens of Psalms, Proverbs, that praise hard work. Now, the Bible is not just an instruction manual for life. We should never forget that the Bible is also a love story. For God so loved the world that he felt warm and, you know, just warm and fuzzy, and he sent us this giant God-sized Hallmark card. No. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish and have eternal life. God's love is love in action, right? He sent his Son, Jesus came, and he worked really hard to live a perfect life, to show us what that would look like, and then to suffer and die for us, for our sins, to literally go to hell in our place. God has and is working really hard for us. Hard work is a way for us to respond to his amazing love, to love him back. Hard work is a way for us to love, love in action. That's what we're going to look at today. Let's pray, and then we'll see how that could work in our lives. God, I just welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We need your presence, and we need your love. God, I ask that you change us today with your love. You shine your light in our lives and see places where we can become more and more like you. And through your love, you change us. I ask for real practical differences in our lives. Amen. So let's make sure we're all talking about the same thing. We're all on the same page here. What exactly is hard work? How does the Bible define hard work? Well, first of all, hard work is not leisure. Duh, right? I mean, but this weekend at church, we learned hard work and leisure are different. Okay, but leisure is not bad. It's not evil. I mean, you know that winter's coming, right? You can feel it already. And I'll tell you, I'm already fantasizing about, you know, going someplace tropical, the sound of the ocean, the sand in my feet, and the tropical drink with the umbrella in my hand. Nice, right? Not my real life. Importantly, though, that's not paradise. No. The Bible teaches us that paradise involves meaningful work. Okay? Meaningful work. Go back to the start, Genesis 2, right? We were put into paradise, into the garden, to care for it and work it. Now, we broke the world, including work, so because of our sin, there's frustration in our work, absolutely, but we're still designed to work. When Jesus comes back again, yes, to make the world perfect, we can see from Isaiah 65 that in the new heaven and the new work, the new earth, there will be work in paradise. Now, why does this matter? Most of us get that hard work and leisure are different. The thing is, most of us prefer leisure. Our culture has tricked us into wanting leisure more than we want paradise, the kingdom of God. See, believing that hard work is a punishment, believing that paradise is just this grand state of like glorious inactivity, right? We're just going to float on our own little clouds. We're going to play our harps and get all big and chubby, doing nothing. That's all a lie. It's a lie. And it's easy for us in our culture to believe that lie because what are we surrounded by? You know, everybody's working for the weekend. Yeah. Let's just be open, right? Let's open ourselves up to the truth. Holy Spirit, even come now and show us the truth about hard work, that it's actually good. It's part of paradise. All right, next. Hard work is not laziness. Another profound truth, right? Although the Proverbs, they wouldn't over and over again talk about, you know, warn us not to be sluggards if us humans didn't have a thing with laziness. I think many of us are really good at hiding, at rationalizing our laziness. You know, I would work hard, but my job, it's so hard, and my coworkers are so mean. Or I would work hard, but they don't pay me enough, you know. I had to call in sick. I needed a mental health day. Or, you know, I would get a job, but I don't have a car, and I'm allergic to the bus. And, you know, they wouldn't hire someone like me anyway. Any of that sound familiar? What are our excuses for our laziness? You know, a lot of us, we think we're hard workers, but what we really are is we are selective sluggards. Selective sluggards. This is like the dads who like spend all week working really, really hard. We're putting in, we're committed to supporting our family. And then it gets to Sunday and we're like, oh, you know, Sunday morning, that's my day to sleep in. I gotta, you know, relax and read the paper. And I'm not just gonna let my wife take the kids to church. And, you know, she can invest in their character and their spiritual health and knowing Jesus. See, we think we're working really hard, but when it comes to something important, we're selective sluggards. And right now, dads, if you're here, you're probably thinking, why did my wife drag me to church this weekend? Hey, I don't want to just pick on the dads, okay? Lots of us do this. We work really hard at our careers, and then we neglect our relationships, you know, our marriages. We never call our parents. Or, you know, we'll work hard at our job, but we're slobs at home, and we don't take care of our own health, and we let other things go. Selective sluggards. Now, I think in America, actually the truth is, most of us have an issue with laziness, but we deny it. You know, God knows. He knows everything. So what if we're just honest? Holy Spirit, come with your love. Help us to see. Help us to see our laziness and heal us. Okay, next. Hard work is also not being a workaholic. Now, this one's a little harder to see, okay? Now, I can tell you from experience that workaholism, that's like a pathological condition. It's an illness. Workaholics, we feel uncomfortable. We feel anxious when we're not doing stuff, when we're not working. We don't want to rest, right? And really, we go into withdrawal because it's an addiction, right? We're addicted to always being doing something. Work becomes a compulsion. We feel depressed when we're not working. I totally remember this in my life. You know, when I was a big executive, a corporate attorney, I remember one day my executive assistant comes in, and she knew me. We'd worked together for years. And she comes in and she says, John, I've noticed something about you. I've noticed that you're only happy when you are crazy busy. That was a wake-up call. I think a lot of us need that kind of wake-up call. Warning signs of being a workaholic. I mean, they include when your spouse, when your family, they complain or they've given up complaining about the fact that you're just never around. Or another one is when the people in our life or in our relationships, they feel neglected because we're always working. And what are we doing? We're sneaking off, right, to another room to check our email or do a little work. And we just can't say no to work, ever. Workaholism, it's pathological. It's an illness. And really what it is an addiction that is a socially acceptable way through workaholism that we can not face the things we don't want to face. That we can avoid struggles in our marriage or avoid being alone with ourselves, avoid unhealed pain or grief or really avoid the feeling that we don't matter, that we're not important. Yeah, it's way more socially acceptable than being addicted to drugs or alcohol or porn, but it's an addiction nonetheless. And we need help. We need Jesus to free us. And boy, can he. It can be slow, but if we press in, he can heal us. I can tell you he can. All right, in the Bible, hard work is not just ceaseless work. It isn't. No, it's not about how many hours we work, 50, 60, 100 hours. Now, sure, working hard does include putting in a healthy number of hours, but hard work really in the Bible is way more about a commitment to quality work. It's really, hard work is about excellence. Yeah, just think about Jesus, right? When he was a carpenter. I mean, can we even imagine that Jesus turned out shoddy work, right? That he made chairs that you sat in them and they fell apart? No. But here today in our world, we can see it. A world without a big commitment to like working hard until you get it right, until it's quality, till it's excellence. And because we don't have that, we live in a world where things fall apart way too fast, right? We got like dirty restaurants and filthy bathrooms. We got plagiarized work being turned in by lazy students. Customer service representatives, are you kidding me? They're rude and they can't even actually help you. We got mechanics that don't really fix your car, and we got politicians that aren't even trying to work for the common good. This rant could go on for a while. Seriously, but let's just look at ourselves. In our work, in what we do, are we committed to excellence? Or do we need to remember that whatever we do, okay, not if we're Nazis or drug dealers, you don't have to be excellent at that, but whatever we do that's not evil, It's a calling from God. It is. It doesn't matter how important or menial we think it is. If it's useful, it's God's work. Is that how we see our work? You know who really got this was the Shakers. You go back to the 19th century, and you had these folks following Jesus called the Shakers. And they were carpenters like Jesus. They built furniture, like exquisite quality, excellent furniture. Their furniture, like the back of it that faced the wall or the bottom of it, it wasn't made a cheap press board because that wasn't invented yet. Seriously, though, the back of the furniture, the part that you didn't see, it was for their furniture, it was just as beautiful as the front. They made it of the same quality, even the bottom, because they thought that, you know, God, he can see the back. He can see the bottom. They made furniture for the glory of God. How does that compare to our work? Is that what we're doing? Because, you know, really, hard work is working for God. It is. Again, our work is a calling from God. God gives us gifts and talents and abilities, and then we get to use them for him. A really cool example of this is John Coltrane, the jazz saxophonist. This guy was given incredible musical talent, and he was humble about it. He saw what God had given him, and he said, God, give me the privilege of working really hard so that I can make people happy through music. And the story goes that one night he was playing his jazz song, A Love Supreme. You can imagine who that was about. And he's playing this song. And jazz music is like different every night, right? And this night, the music was better than he ever thought it could be. It was like the best ever. And he goes off stage and folks, they hear him say this Latin phrase that I cannot pronounce. It is nunc dimittis, which means now you dismiss. Now you dismiss. In the Bible, it's what old man Simeon said when he got to hold the baby Jesus. And he basically said, I'm done now. You know, after all the hard work, I can go. And so for Coltrane, he wasn't working for himself. It wasn't when he did the most incredible jazz ever. He wasn't thinking, whoa, look at me, I'm great. He was thinking, God, this is for you. The best of my abilities for you. And when he played the best jazz he could imagine, he's like, now I'm done. I gave it to you, the best I got. Think about how satisfying that must have been. Think about how that felt, how fulfilling that would be. What would it be like to have our work like that? It can be. If we let God change us, we can have that too. All right, we got a sense now what hard work is, what it looks like. Well, we see it in the Bible, what this is hard work. Now let's look at why we should work hard. Well, again, working hard is a way to respond to God's amazing love. It's a way to love him back. It's love. It's us putting love into action as well. But first, rather than just starting with loving God, let's start with someone else that we can love through our work. This is someone that God tells us we're supposed to love. It's a person that God absolutely loves, and it's really healthy for us to love them too. It's us. It's ourselves. One reason, we work hard as a way to love ourselves. Seriously. If you think about it, all the studies say that being rich and famous, they don't actually make us happy. David Geffen, the billionaire movie producer, he famously said this, Show me someone who thinks money buys happiness, and I will show you someone who's never had a lot of money. What actually makes us happy? Well, the social scientists, with all their surveys and their studies, they've boiled it down. They've isolated four main factors that make us happy. It's satisfying work. It's a warm relationship with your family. It's close relationship with your friends. And it is a strong religious faith. Now, notice on that list that you can have all four of those, and you can be rich or poor or middle class. It doesn't matter. And you can see how being rich, having money, having fame, having good looks, they didn't even make the list. They don't contribute to our happiness. And to have satisfying work, you don't even have to get paid for it. It turns out that stay-at-home parents, you know, homemakers, they score really high on that happiness scale. Now, I love the social scientists and all their data and their charts and graphs. That's great stuff, but you can find all this in the Bible too. Yeah, God, he loves us. So he gave us this instruction manual for life, right? He told us what the principles, what the rules are, what the laws of this universe are. like the law of gravity or the law of hard work. Again, we see it over and over again in Proverbs. Go to the ant, you know, the little insect. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Now, careful. Proverbs not saying that all poor people are lazy. No, plenty of poverty is caused by, you know, layoffs and illness and disability or just brokenness, you know, injustice in this broken world. But what Proverbs is saying is that hard work, it's part of the fabric of this universe for insects, for ants, for you, for me. It's part of the design. And when you go against the design, there's problems. There's a pattern to this world, right? There's a grain. And if you think about wood, if you run your hand against the grain, you get splinters. Same deal here. I mean, think about it, really. There's an order to our physical reality, right? Like gravity. If I go up on the roof here and I jump off, I should expect to get a broken arm, right? That's just how it works. There's an order to our biologic reality, right? If we overeat and we never exercise and we take drugs and substance abuse, we should expect it to harm, to destroy our biologic reality. There's an order to our psychological reality. You know, if we hold grudges and we're full of bitterness and unforgiveness and we let our anger get out of control, it destroys us psychologically, emotionally. And there's an order to our relational reality. You know, if we treat our spouses poorly, if we treat our boyfriends and girlfriends and our friends poorly, well, relationally, it's going to destroy us eventually. And Proverbs is saying same deal for hard work. Hard work is part of the order, the fabric of this universe. And if we refuse to work hard, well, we should expect to have poverty and scarcity. It will destroy us financially, our financial reality. A way to love ourselves is to work hard so we can provide for ourselves, so we can avoid poverty and bankruptcy. Now, sure, it actually even goes deeper than that. You know, you can see through the Bible like hard work being part of who we are as humans. If you go all the way back again to Genesis, right, we are intended to work hard. So when we refuse to work hard, it actually tears at the fabric of our humanity. Maybe you've seen this in people. Maybe you, hopefully not seen it in yourself. Folks who like give themselves over to alcoholism or drugs or just plain laziness, and they just sit around, right? They spend hours and hours watching screens. They never do anything. It starts to destroy them inside. You see that, the hollowness that develops. It eats at our humanity. Even retired folks, if they don't find something meaningful to do, volunteering, so many retired folks end up depressed. Even in a hospital bed, there's work we can do. The work of prayer. There's always, any circumstance, there's work we can work hard at. And when we don't, what happens is it's entropy of our souls. It tears us apart because the Bible says work, hard work, is not a necessary evil. It is a really big good for us. We are designed to work hard. So, are we loving ourselves by working hard? If we're not, or, you know, maybe we're not, I don't know, you know, why not? Is it because of our own excuses? Is it because we need a job that we can work harder at? Is it that because we need to have a serious talk with Jesus about how much he loves us? And he wants us to love ourselves and to actually be happy and to work hard. Okay, another reason we work is we work because it's a way to love God. And that starts out first First, we work hard because it's a way of imitating God. You know, God is a God of work. You know, you compare him to the Greek, the Roman, the Mesopotamic gods. Those gods, they were about leisure, right? They were about sitting around and, you know, playing, being mean to each other and bossing people around and thinking big. No, our God. You meet our God and he's got dirt on his hands, right? He is working. He's like forming this world, forming us. And sure, he takes a break, you know, he rests. But then after creation, he moves right on to the work of provision. Yeah, he provides for us. The Bible says he holds this world together in his hand. Our God services what he sells, right? And when we break this world, he's coming to fix it, right? Jesus shows up. And the Greeks would have expected him to show up as a philosopher and the Romans as a general. No. He shows up as Joe working carpenter. That's our God. And a way that we can respond to his amazing love, a way that we love him back. He tells us that his love language is to become more and more like him. Yeah, God, he doesn't just put us into paradise, right? He doesn't say, welcome to paradise. Please try not to break anything. No. He puts us into paradise and he says, tend it. Improve on it. That's what we're called to do, right? We're called to be like God, to imitate him, to be creative like he is, to take our gifts and abilities, our skills, and to make this world better. How do we do that? Really practically? Well, I think all of us can, right? We can invent the technologies, the medicines, the ways to conserve energy that'll make this world better. We can create the art and the music and the design, the entertainment that captures people's hearts and minds for the better. You know, we can just one person at a time make the world better through the student that feels our love, or the patient that feels our compassion, the family that benefits from the thing that we make, that we fix. All of us, I think all of us in our work, the work that we do, there's a way that we can do it in a way where we are improving this world, where we are working hard, where we're being like God. If you think about it, when we love someone, when we think they're great, when we idolize them, We do stuff like them, right? We try to get their hairstyle. We want to talk like them, be like them. Us humans, we copy the people that we worship. Well, if we love God, if he's the greatest thing in our life, same thing with him. We'll copy him, including when it comes to working hard. Actually, if you step back and you kind of think about this thing, it's kind of hard for us. It's a mystery to know exactly how do we love God, right? I mean, how do you buy a gift for a God that's got everything, right? And it's never going to be a surprise to him. Or how do you get, I mean, you can't give him a hug. He's invisible. Where do you hug him, right? It's different. I mean, like, how do you really love God? It's so good that he told us, my love language includes becoming more and more like me. It's super practical. It's like the mom who says to her kids, like, here's what you can give me as a gift. And she knows they can make it. They can actually give it to her. See, God designed us so that we can love him wherever we are. Wherever we are. Do you see how powerful that is? We don't have to wait until we're perfect to love him. No. All of us right now, wherever we're at, we can love him. We can become more and more like him. And we don't have to wait until the weekend, right, to come here to church. No. Wherever we are, including at work, and we spend way more time there than we spend here, we can love him. We can love him by working hard like he does. How about this week, right? The first time you go to work this week, talk to God. What if we just said, God, today I'm not just going to work for myself, for the money, for my family, whatever. I'm going to work for you, God. I'm going to work hard so I can become more like you. Now, there's lots of ways to become like God, but this is a super practical one because we spend so much of our time at work. We can do this. Why don't we try it this week, right? Why don't we see how it feels? All right, one more thing. We work hard because it's a way for us to love others. Right? We could have put it on the coffee mugs, right? The coffee mugs could say, love God, love people, work hard. We saw it. We saw it before when we were in Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. He who gathers, he who sleeps, the he there, it's not just man or boy, it's son. Son. Whether we work hard or not affects those around us, our family. We're not just benefiting ourselves or failing ourselves. We are supporting or failing them. Do you see that? The Apostle Paul, he's even more blunt about it. He says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is even worse than an unbeliever. Okay, that's probably not a verse you have on your fridge at home, okay? Unless maybe you're having some kind of fight with your spouse and in some kind of passive-aggressive Minnesota nice thing, you put that on your fridge. Don't do that. That's not right. It's not nice. But, you know, that verse only seems harsh because the flip side of it is so great. It's so amazing. You know, we, through our hard work, through providing for our families, it's a big, big way that we love them. It's all about the love. Yeah, when we start following Jesus, when we follow Jesus, we experience his love, his incredible love, the love of a God who would come and die, who would sacrifice everything, go to hell in our place. We experience, we feel that love, and it changes us. Even hardcore introverts like me, it makes us want to love people the way Jesus does. If you don't see that starting to happen in your life, maybe we're not actually followers of Jesus yet. And we can press into it even more, experiencing more and more of his love. And as we do, we can look at our work and see, where can I do that at work? Where can I work hard to do that? Maybe it's with our customers or our clients, our students, our patients. We can go the extra mile so that they can feel the love of Jesus. Maybe it's with our coworkers, right? Rather than just pulling our weight, we can pull some extra weight. We can give them credit for it. How could we show them the love of Jesus? Maybe it's even with our boss. Rather than being told to work hard, we work hard. How, with our boss, can we show them the love of Jesus? Do you see ways at your actual work, ways this week, that you can love people? Show them the love of Jesus through your hard work. And I should probably say, no surprise here, that we're designed to love people like this. Dorothy Sayers, she was a writer, English writer back during World War II. She wrote about one of the surprising things about World War II. It was the way that the war affected English men. For many English men, it was the first time in their lives ever that they felt happy and satisfied with their work. Can you guess why? It wasn't because of their working conditions. It was a war, literally. It wasn't because of the army pay, the army pays miserably. It wasn't because of the status of it, because everyone was thrown in together there. The army was a great equalizer. No, it was because, for many of them, the first time ever, they were working for others. They were working hard for the community, for the common good, for other people. Do you see how cool hard work is? It allows us to love God and love people and benefit and love ourselves. So what are we going to do about this? Seriously, what are we going to do? How about we just start out with being really honest about our relationship with work, right? Some of us are lazy. Some of us are workaholics. We're all broken. Let's just be honest. And let's also be honest about the love in our life. I think all of us could use more love, more of God's love. We run from his love. We turn from it. We don't go to get his love. And we need his love to change us, right? We can press in. We can receive more of his love. And as we do, we want to love him and love people and love ourselves. And we can. Work is a super practical way to do that. Hard work is a super practical way to put our love into action. I tell you what, why don't you stand up with me and let's talk to God about how this could actually work in our lives, how we could put this into practice. So God, I just welcome you here even more. Holy Spirit, come. We ask for your presence here. God, take some time now to talk to us. And God, I just start by asking for honesty. Help us to be honest with ourselves. Holy Spirit, shine your light of truth in our lives and help us to see where we're actually at. Reveal the laziness. Reveal where we're being selective sluggards. Show us the brokenness in our attitude towards work. We think it's a punishment when it's not. It's what we're designed to do, and so much joy and love can come through it. God, open our eyes to the truth. Help us to be honest about where we're at. It's amazing how you always meet us where we're at. We don't have to clean ourselves up. You meet us there. And then, God, wherever we're at, just flood us, shower us with your love. Holy Spirit, come. Just remind us how amazing you are, that you would make this world perfect. You would make us. Every good thing we have comes from you. All the brokenness is because of our sin. And yet you don't give up on us ever. You showed up. You died, you suffered for us, to save us, to buy us back. And every time we screw up, you are there with open arms saying, come back home. It is incredible love, God. It is the kind of love that changes our hearts. So change us, God, as we feel your love. God, I ask that we are able to respond to that love, to become more and more like you. And one really practical way is through hard work. So this week, God, when we go out, when we go to our jobs, wherever our workplaces are, I ask for change. I ask that we can work a little differently, that we can work hard to become like you, that we can work hard to love those around us, to love you, and to, yes, to love ourselves through hard work. God, just tear away all of our excuses, all the lies of our culture. Just connect us with you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, I'd like to invite the ministry team to come up. These are folks who are trained. They'd love to pray for you. And a great way to press into the things that we're talking about here today is to let someone pray for you. I mean, maybe you need to hear some truth from Jesus directly. Maybe you need to connect with his love in a more powerful way. Or maybe you're just really excited about what he's doing in your life right now. We'd love to pray for you. If the Holy Spirit has been stirring anything up in you, or maybe nothing's going on and you're like, oh, something's wrong here. I got to hear from God. Come up. Let someone pray for you. If there's anything in your life, really, that you need prayer for, you're struggling physically, you need physically healing, you got problems in your relationships, your finances, if you need God to just open open your eyes to see what he's calling you into next, we'd love to pray for you. God has something for you. They're going to lead us in some more worship, and I would just encourage you, receive what God has for you. There's no reason not to get that. You came all the way to church. Let God give you something that will make your life better today. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard.